Okay, well, welcome back to Youth Worship. And today, we sort of glad that we don't have four scripture readers because they only got one verse to read. So you can't divide four readers into one sentence and then we try to figure how who's going to read one, two words, that would be quite ridiculous. But we're going to focus on this study where we call, you know, it's a single verse. But a single verse itself has got a lot of meaning packed in so that we want to study it very carefully and learn from it. So there are lots of wonderful things that we must consider. Well, let's pray together before we carry on. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God given to us, how rich and how wonderful and how profound the words are, so that even when we read a single sentence, there is so much communicated. Give us wisdom and discernment that we may understand what this particular text we're going to read today means to our hearts. We ask you to bless us. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, now we take a look at Genesis 20 and verse 1. Now, if you look at it, it's a very innocuous statement. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and stayed in Gerar. Now, as we take a look at these things here, and Abraham journeyed, we almost have to ask ourselves, what is that all about? Now, this is absolutely important things that we want to know. So first, we look at Abraham. And as we look at the word name of Abraham, lots of things must come to us in our mind. Some positive, some not so positive. Well, let's take a look at some of the things that we think are really, really positive. So as I look at Abraham, you know, sort of the name conjures up lots of things. So it's not just a name. It's all that he stands for and all that he is. And so we talk about how Abraham was. So some of the positive things we can read about from Genesis 12 to 18. Well, these are some of the things that I come away with. One, he discovered faith in God and followed him. To me, that is outstanding. Now remember, he does not have the scriptures to read. So what does he have? Maybe a thought that God planted in his mind. And that got into the heart. Or it could be a vision. Or it could be a word that was there given to him. The point of it all is that Abraham worked on that, believed in God, and followed him. Now that, to me, is outstanding. So that's chapter 12. Right? Then we take a look at another chapter, chapter 14. And we see Uncle Abraham rescuing Lot. Remember, he is not a young person. He's not a young person at 57. He is at least 75, reverse the numbers, and counting. Yet, he rescued Lot, risking his very life. Now, to me, that is outstanding. How many 70 septuagenarian heroes do you know? Well, Abraham was certainly one of the outstanding few. Right? Then, of course, the Lord had to speak to him, telling him, don't be afraid of reprisals. I am your shield. And then his faith was confirmed, and God blessed him. And it was counted to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15. In Genesis 17, God gave to Abraham a covenant and confirmed it. In chapter 18, Abraham was the person who was the intercessor praying for Lot, for Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? So there are at least five outstanding things we can pick up or pick out as we think of Abraham. Right? Now, the not so positive thing, the negative things of Abraham at this point of time. One, he went to Egypt and he told a whopper. And that is not great. Right? That was an unfortunate blight on his good name. And then, of course, he listened to Sarai, his wife, and took on Hagar as his second wife. Also not so great. Right? In the midst of doing things which are good and memorable, and also guilty of doing things which are not so great, how do we appreciate Abraham? Well, both good and bad. But the most wonderful thing as we read these chapters is actually a discovery about who God is. To me, as I read these chapters, I not only look at Abraham and in contrast Lot, but I look at God most of all. And these are the lessons that I come away with, and my heart is just uplifted. One, you couldn't find a more gracious God than the Lord who introduced himself to Abraham. Here is a God who is full of mercy, right? Mistakes are made, sins are committed, the Lord is still merciful. Then we look at God's faithfulness. God was faithful no matter what happened. He was faithful to Abraham, and guess what? He was merciful to Lot and faithful to him too. So he even sent two angels to care for him, to look after him, to talk to him. Now that is faithfulness. And of course, God is very, very patient. Well, Lot says, you know, I cannot go up to the mountains. Here's a little place called Zoar. Can I stay here? It's a very insignificant place. That's what Zoar means. Can I stay here? And graciously, the angels on behalf of God said, okay, you can stay here. But he didn't stay very long. He left to go to the very mountains that the angels knew he would end up in. That is the patience of God, his long-suffering. Right? And of course, God is most generous. When he blessed Abraham and he blessed Lot, he did not give them an extra sheep or two. He gave them herds, cattle, flocks, until the land was so occupied with so many sheep and cattle that they had to expand very, very far. Now that is very generous of God. Right? Then of course, he is all powerful. Can you imagine how Abraham would have been able to conquer the coalition of northern kings on his own? That is impossible. And so Melchizedek reminded Abraham that it was God, possessor of heaven and earth, who had blessed him and who had given him victory over the northern kings. So when we take a look at all these chapters, looking at the lives of Abraham, we're looking at the life of Lot, and we cannot but see the wonderful person we call God, and we believe in him. Now that's Abraham. So when I think of Abraham, these thoughts come to mind. His life, good, not so good. And then God, most of all, the God of Abraham is truly outstanding. Okay, now we take a look at this very carefully. And Abraham journeyed. Now, what is the meaning behind this word, and Abraham journeyed? Why did he journey so much? Now, this is important for us to take a look at. Now, so the word today we're going to study is simply the word journeyed. What does it mean? Now, sometimes we look at it and we sort of neglect it, and Abraham journeyed. I don't think too many of us actually took the trouble to ask ourselves, and ask God, what does it all mean? And Abraham journeyed. Well, let's take a look at some of these things that we can learn. Okay? Now, this journey part of it began a long time ago when he left Haran over for Canaan. That is literally a long, long distance. Right? So he journeyed. That's the first part of it. Now, we're going to look this time not his journey from Haran to Canaan, but the journey within Canaan itself. Why did he do that? The first part of it we understand in chapter 12. It's very clear. All right, to a land that I will show you. Now, so he got into the land. What can he see now that I step into Canaan? To the land that I will show you. He's at a border, he steps in. What does he see about Canaan? Nothing, apart from what his eyes can see, which isn't very much. The Lord said, to a land that I will show you. Not give yet, just show you this land. Now, of course, Abraham will have to journey. If his faith is just book kind of faith, okay, God, I believe you. And that's it. He would have missed the point. Now, in chapter 13, for example, now we read this is important. Now, Lot had already left Abraham at this stage. Right? He had chosen the plains of the Jordan. The plains of Jordan where Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar and these little cities were there. Now, that place looks wonderful. Luscious, green, fertile land. It was like the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God, as it were. That was the expression. So what does he have? When you look at something beautiful, question is, what do you see? What do you have? Well, this is what God said to Abraham in chapter 13. Let's take a look. We see this. In chapter 13, we see this. Right? And the Lord said to him, verse 14, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, okay, now turn around, southward, okay, then look again, eastward, and then look again, westward. All the land which you see, I give to you. That's the first part, and your descendants. Okay, now this is important. Look at verse 17. God said, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. And so we read that Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre and built an altar there to the Lord. Now, that was not a very long journey, but it was a journey. But what did God say to Abraham? That's very important. Lift your eyes up. Northward, how far is north? As far as you can go. Southward, eastward, westward, all the land you see. Wow. Where you walk, there is your land. So when we read an Abraham journey, it's not because his foot loose, he can't keep still. It's because he was fulfilling what God had called him to do. Walk through the land. Now that would be a tremendous walk of faith. And so when we read these words, and Abraham journeyed, you mustn't think that because he is hyperkinetic, nope. It is simply understanding what God said, what God meant. He understood it, and by faith, he walked everywhere his feet enabled him to walk. And it would be northward, southward, eastward, westward, because God said, wherever you walk, there is the land that I would give to you. Now, this is absolutely important. Of course, there are borderlines we will see, right? One borderline would be Egypt. That, you don't go there. That is not the land I'm giving you. That is not Canaan. That's Egypt. So he knows that he should not go there. Now, this is a journey of faith to explore what God had promised to Abraham. So when we read an Abraham journey, you must not think that it is anything less than faith. Right? So this is important. So one is a journey of faith. Now, we go on further. It's also what we call a journey of necessity. Right? Remember, he has flocks and herds. So after the flocks have eaten, the herds have gone to the place there, the grass will not grow over tomorrow straight away. Okay, you eat today, you eat tomorrow, the grass will grow back again. That's not how it works. This is not a multiplication of loaves and fish. So when the grass is all eaten up, it's going to take time for the grass to grow back again. Right? So what do? You have to travel elsewhere. Now that is necessity. You see, when God said, I will give you the land, it doesn't mean, okay, you sit here, the land will come to you. That's not how what it means. Abraham, you have to understand this land, and these are journeys of necessity. And there was a hidden reason. Abraham will learn many lessons along the way, lessons which can only be learned as he walked along the way. If he doesn't understand how that works, it's not going to work at all. He's got to understand how that works. He's got to discover more about God, more about his faith, more about himself, more about life, more about everything he needs to learn. So these are called journeys of necessity. Now, let's try to appreciate these expressions here along the way. So let me go on further, going back to the first point about a journey of faith. Now, the faith that Abraham had is a little bit different from the kind of faith we have. Essentially, the essence is the same. But the lessons learned through faith are different. Right? Many of us have a faith that is sort of scripturated. It's from the scriptures. You know what? That's wonderful faith. Nothing wrong with that. But what is missing sometimes is the fact that we don't have the experience to back up what we read in the scriptures. And this is what God wanted to give to Abraham so that he, though he may not have the written scriptures, he will nevertheless have God as his guide, God as his teacher, in fact, God as his friend. So then he will learn lessons of faith along the way. Now, this is important. So there were many lessons about life. So his human knowledge grew significantly, right? So these are the Egyptians. Well, these guys are tough guys. You know, why they would even take in older women to belong to the harem of the Pharaoh. Well, that he learned about human beings along the way. See, there are lots of things to learn along the way. And then he learned about Lot, how he was tempted. He learned about war. He learned about a lot of these things here. Those were things that he had to discover along the way. And these are things that he knew he had to learn. So his learning about God, his learning about faith, included mistakes and sins. No question about that. Problems, difficulties along the way. But in the midst of all that, The journeys of faith provided rich instruction, inspiration for him to worship God. Right? So God will speak to him in a vision. Right? God will speak to him in a dream, telling him about the future of his descendants. God will visit with him and have a meal in his home too. Well, all those things are absolutely wonderful. So the journeys of faith is not just it's not sightseeing. His journeys were literally journeys where he would learn about faith firsthand. God would tell him, for example, that God was a shield to him. Well, how about that? David would use the same phrase later on in Psalm 3 and verse 3. But you are a shield to me. Right? That's how wonderful it is. He discovered that God was a shield. But the person who said that was God himself. I will be a shield for you. Don't worry about the enemies. Now, how did David know about this? You see, this is where we will discover later on. That's what the Lord said about Abraham. That he appeared to Abraham so that he will command his children, his descendants, to follow him, to obey God, and to know what is justice and what is truth. These are wonderful things to take note of. So the journeys of Abraham were not just journeys because he was footloose, because he had a travel bug, but this was all part of God's way of instructing, of strengthening, of inspiring greater and greater faith in Abraham. So much so that the book of Hebrews chapter 11 describes Abraham and his faith. Right? That's not that it was limited to those few verses, but it does tell us that Abraham ended up with a very rich faith, and that is absolutely important. So God allowed Abraham to learn about life, about human beings, about problems, about sins, about himself, and about the Lord. And all these things were actually learned through his physical, actual journeys. But because faith is there, we understand these are called journeys of faith. So when we read Genesis 20, verse 1, and Abraham journeyed, the little word "and" will tell you this was not the beginning, right? In chapter 12, he came to Canaan and he journeyed. And then he journeyed again to Mamre. And then he journeyed to where Lot was. Since Lot had chosen Jordan, he told Lot, "Where you go west, I will go east. You go left, I will go right." So after a while, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. I'm going to journey further. As he said he would, and he did. Well, there were lots of things to discover. He had not yet discovered everything. So these journeys of faith were very, very important. The word "and" will tell you that this was a continuing journey. Right? So there was a first journey to Canaan from Haran. And then from there, different places, to Bethel, to Mamre, and elsewhere. And then, of course, in 21, he would go to the south. This is called the Negev. And this area was an area that was between Kadesh and Shur. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Right? But so this idea of journey of faith is important. Now, it's important. It's also a journey of discovery of the land. I think most of us actually have not discovered Singapore a whole lot. We travel with MRT from one end, north to the south, you know, east to the west, in a circle line. And do we think that we have seen all of Singapore? Perhaps not. Right? Now, there are lots of things to discover along the way. There are those days with no MRTs, no trains, nothing of that kind. What do you have? You walk. And there are many, many journeys that are taken on foot that are things that you can discover about the land. Okay, for example, you cannot just discover Canaan and look at a map and then draw your map. Cartographers, people who draw maps, are people who have actually traveled. And then in their mind's eye, they can say, okay, now this is the north, this is what we have, this is the south, this is what we have. And then they write all these things down. We really are thankful for cartographers. And this is where. So God said, I will give you the land of Canaan. What is Canaan? Where is Canaan? There are no boundaries. Okay, from here to here is Canaan. This one is not Canaan. There were no boundaries in those days. There were tribal people who lived in different areas. What are they like? They will have to be discovered. So this journey was a discovery journey, right? So this would be your discovery channel. This is where you discover the land of Canaan rather than the discovery channel. But this is discovery Canaan. So what are you going to, where are the boundaries? What was the land like? Where would the things be? How would the land be utilized? Which one will grow which crop better? Where do you plant the wheat? Where do you plant the barley? Where is the best place to plant the vineyards or to have the vineyard or figs or pomegranates? There were many things to discover. We often think that they just go down there, walk around, stumble here, stumble there. No. These were journeys of significance. Right? No. So you have to look at the land. How are you going to tell your descendants, God gave us this land? What land? What is it like? What do we find? Where is the water? Where is good pasture ground? See, this is Abraham learned, and this is important for us because there were many things that he had to be learned along the way. Right? Remember, part of it is his faith journey. He's going to discover life, about himself, about problems, about people in the land, about God, about his trust in God. This had to be done. Then the actual land itself has to be discovered. What it was Canaan like? In time to come, the land will be divided among his descendants. Where would this information be? Now, it is the early days. They do not pass this over by writing. It's what we call an oral tradition. Right? So Abraham will end up talking to Isaac. Now, if you go north, this is what you will find. If you go south, this is what you will find. Right? If you go east, you will go west. The whole land would have to be explored by Abraham if he is going to speak to all of them, to his son and to his servants and to others. Now, this discovery of land is part of the word journey. Right? So don't dismiss this word journey. It's actually quite an important thing for us to understand. Now, as we look at journeys, see, all of us probably have been to travel and we sort of miss traveling. What do people do nowadays? Since there's nowhere, cruise to nowhere, you can go and cruise every weekend if you wish. But what would you have? Nothing very much. But in those days, if you were to make those journeys of this faith, journeys of discovery, I will tell you what else you need. You will not need just your suitcase or suitcases. You're not going to need all those things. You will need to find the courage to take on the next group. What would you find? You don't know, right? There are lots of things that you will discover along the way. Now, for example, in chapter 12, we read, right? And so we read of how he came there, and then he came to the land of Canaan, right? And in verse 6, well, we read, he passed through land to the place of Shechem, the territory of Moreh, and then the Canaanites were there in the land. What were they like? And then in verse 8, there were mountains east of Bethel, And then there was there are other places. He's got to know where the mountains are, where the hills are, where the fields are, where the valleys are, where the springs are. All these things will require a lot of courage, a lot of strength, a lot of faith, a lot of intelligence along the way. So you mustn't think that these journeys are just simple holiday jaunts. No, they're not. Right? It requires very much what we call a pioneer spirit. And this is how it is to be, this is how to be done. This is very much in most countries that open up. And most countries that open up, it's just, what do you do with all the land? So you have to look at these things here. Now, this place has to be conquered. There could be enemies there. There could be pitfalls there, and so on and so forth. And they all have to be discovered. And so it would take Abraham a lot of courage in order to go and look at all these things and learn from them. I think that is important. One of the biggest weaknesses in the ancient past where missionaries were concerned. Many went to Africa. Unfortunately, they did not know the land so well. And the sad reality is that literally Africa became the place where missionaries died. They were sending in missionary after missionary, literally by the dozen sometimes, only to see them die one after another. If only they had literally understood the significance of journeying ahead of time. And this is something that was important. Unfortunately, this is not done, right? So there are missionaries who did that. Well, for example, David Livingstone was like that. He did not just become a missionary to Africa. He explored the land of Africa, wrote about it so that people coming after him would be better prepared. This was City Start as well. Charles Thomas Start, one of the things that he did well actually was to go and look at the land, prepare the way ahead, literally, and these are swamp areas. Don't go here. Don't stay there. People will die. Well, these were some of the contributions that early missionaries made you, and then noticed and then gave words of warning, advice to future missionaries. And this is exactly what Abraham was actually doing. And to me, that is quite outstanding. So when we read "and Abraham journeyed," then we understand there's actually a lot of meaning behind this word. Now, here is a third meaning that we must look at. And this is important, right? And this is where he journeyed for the sake of his descendants. Now, this is important, right? In Genesis 18 and verse 19, for example, God said, "I have known him." In other words, I made myself known to him. I have given him friendship purposely. I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. In other words, these lessons that were learned were not just for him. It was for him and his children and his household after him. That is important for us to take note of. Right? Can you see this? These journeys were important so that he can talk to them about, this is what God was like. Melchizedek, I met Melchizedek, and this is what he said. God is called Most High, and he is called Possessor of Heaven and Earth. Isn't that wonderful? Pass it on down. Right? Then he can talk to them about the covenant that God gave. He can talk to them about the faith that he had. He can talk also about the mistakes that he made in the hope that they would not repeat them. Well, 18:19, to keep the way of the Lord. And that's how he learned. Okay, now I realize I must keep the way of the Lord, because if I follow my own way, there will be nothing but trouble. Well, that was how he had to understand how he understood things, right? To understand that the Lord's way is the best way. Then he would have learned about what it means to do righteousness and justice, right? For example, his rescue of Lot, that would be righteousness, that would be justice, and that is important, and he would be there to help Abraham conquer the northern alliance of kings. Well, all these things are important for us to learn, and we ask ourselves, what are we learning? And the answer is a lot of lessons. Right? So this one simple, innocuous verse, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south. Well, I have only finished half the verse. Next week, we will go and figure out where is Kadesh, and where is Shur, and what is Gera, and all the other things which we are going to discover. Right? But the idea of an Abraham journey, three simple words, and these three words contain a lot of meaning. And so we are challenged every time we read God's word, not to take his word for granted, but to understand that what could this mean, what could this be saying, and we learn vital lessons along the way. Now, this is something that's important for us to understand. You see, Abraham was going to pass this on downwards. Now you ask yourself, how did Moses, writing all this, how did he know all these things here? Well, Abraham passed these lessons down to his descendant, Isaac. Isaac would pass it on down, and their children would pass it on down further. That is how it works. We call this oral tradition. And this is important, right? So in the same way, when we take a look at our parents and our grandparents, remember this, they have got a wonderfully rich faith and life if they have walked with God properly. Right? Where there are many, many lessons that we can learn from them. If only we would really be humble enough, take the time to listen to them, because they have got lessons that, you know, would be pretty amazing to us, because we may not experience them in the same way. Now, this is something that we need to look at. See, unfortunately, we are caught up with learning lessons, how to play games, how to do gaming, and things that are actually not relevant to life or to faith in any significant way. Well, are these things wrong? No, they're not. You know, you have rights to go and choose how you want to spend a bit of leisure. That's not a problem in itself. But unfortunately, we have not taken the time and the trouble. We've not set aside time to learn the lessons of faith, of life, about God, which we could learn if only we would take the time and the trouble to learn. And then to learn all the lessons which are there. So that even if we don't have Abraham physically as a father, nevertheless, all these lessons that we see recorded tells us there are lots of lessons to learn along the way. So when we resume travel again, and you'll be going out to travel with your parents in time to come, perhaps next year, right? Remember this, and Abraham journeyed. So when people go out to journey to different countries, what is it that most people remember? Food. Right? People remember, oh, this is a historical site, this is a tourist thing here, and that's it. You know, try and do an Abraham's journey. Learn about life, learn about faith, learn about God, learn about things that God wants us to learn. and our life would be so much more enriched because of it. So we learn how we can make use of all the journeys of life meaningfully. And we certainly know and are assured that Abraham learned so much from his journeys. It's not that he knows that he's got very strong good legs. That's not the point. But he would have learned that God was his protector, God was his shield, God was there for him in more ways than one. And there is so much to thank God for. But let's learn lessons of faith and of life as we look at Abraham's journeys. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the journeys that we are privileged to make. But sometimes our journeys are more in terms of leisure, of fun, of family, and we have not learned the lessons we can learn, that we should learn. Help us to look afresh, look at journeying differently. The journey of our life, not just holiday destinations, but the journey of our faith walking with you. Journeys of faith, journeys of discovery. Lessons of life that we can learn, that we can share with others one day. We pray that you will open our eyes and our hearts further to look at the journeys of life that we ourselves can make and learn from. Grant us your grace and your mercy, your wisdom, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.